Live 95 is Cullman's independent radio. And now it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Cullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself, and no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. Here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to another edition of Understanding the Law.
Wow, that still works. It's been so long since I've been in one of these radio station things.
Hey,
which buttons worked, you know?
Us too. Triple Threat is back in the house. Cullman attorney, Marvelous Melvin Hastings, Danielle, and Big D.
So Melvin, what'd you do with the sun, man? Last time I was here, I was looking at the sunset, like, out the window. Now it's just flashing red lights.
It's that eclipse. Oh. Yeah, like the Russians and all that hacked in, they're causing eclipses. It's unreal what's happening.
At least we're not talking about Roy Moore. Okay, it's all good.
Roy Moore is coming up,
though. It's coming up.
It is coming. If you touch Google, Roy Moore names come up. It's just unbelievable.
Just press the letter R and it automatically comes up.
Yes.
So look,
hey, at least Alabama's on the map now, right?
Yeah. And we're getting talked about
with bad politics once again. That's the only way that we ever get on the national scene is with bad politics.
So. Oh, but we're on it now.
Yes, and it'll be on there for a while, so. So much to talk about.
I wonder, do you think the college football rankings, if Alabama was to pull out and win all this stuff, they may just keep us out because of Roy Moore? the national people may just, I mean, if Roy Moore wins 12-5 in this election, then they may kick us out.
You never know.
No.
Because I've heard that around Atlanta it's turning a little more democratic, so I mean that could happen. You know, they might put state troopers around the city and be like, you can't come here.
Yes.
So much going on. We've all been apart here, and everybody's been here. I've been there. I was sick last week, and week before that, Melvin was doing some Halloween trick or treating.
Yeah.
And so finally, we're all back together. Feels good to be back home with my family here on Understanding the Law.
Yeah, next time I think y'all should come to the Bahamas with me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Look, so I followed Jay on Facebook a little bit, and like he was like in a different place every night. I mean, that was
the plan.
But I have to admit, I was jealous the other night when I seen you and Melissa was at Lambert's. So, yes.
Well, while we're bringing that up for a moment, I don't know what is going on with the Lambert's family. You know, I'm always so full when I go there. That's part of the Fuller name. You know, you get full.
Right.
Fuller.
Yeah.
So we sit down and we order. The guy's like, you get three sizes. I'm like, what? I mean, two was too much. I mean, plus
exactly.
All the little freebies they bring. Oh, no, we get you three sizes now. We don't want you to leave here hungry.
Never have left.
I can't imagine one person leaving there hungry with all the sides that you get.
And they don't want you to share your food with anybody else.
Really? They didn't say nothing to me.
Well, maybe you got the right person or something.
Maybe I did. I don't know.
You expect one human to eat all this food?
Can you imagine how much food they throw out at night? I mean, it's just unbelievable. It'd be unreal.
We packed it all up, made on it for 3 days.
I know, you know, that they come by with the black-eyed peas, the fried potatoes, the boiled cabbage. It's just unreal. Yes.
Yeah. And speaking of fried okra, we found this other place in North Florida, because everywhere we went, it was like 8 hours between each day. And, I mean, I have never been to such a good homemade cooking eating place, except for the Mennonite restaurant down at the foot of the hill over there, Battleground, go down the hill.
Yep.
If you don't know what it is, give us a call. We can tell you about it. You're missing out. But, I go through the buffet, and I come away with a plate, and I'm like, that okra, that looks just like my mom fries it. Did my mom come fry this okra? And it was the real deal. I mean, it was
good stuff.
It was good. Hey, it's your show. I'm going to shut up.
Look, I like my fried okra burnt just a little bit in a cast iron skillet.
That's pretty much how they did it. Yeah.
So that is good okra right there. Heavily breaded with not cooked all the way is not good okra. So that's just the way I look at it. Yeah, exactly right. Daniel said it's soggy, and it does have that soggy texture whenever you bite into it. So,
speaking
of, okra is one of those few foods that, like, every time you order it, it's different.
Yeah, exactly.
So, speaking of buffets and home cooking and fried food, when is Golden Corral open? Is it open
yet? Not yet.
It's awfully close.
Yes.
The parking lot was completely packed a while ago. And, so, there
Yeah, I'm thinking training or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Last week of this month, they're going to open up.
Well, just in time for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but I'll be cooking myself. My sister called me last night and said, hey, look, I'm going to be cooking, so if you want to come over. So I guess I'm going to help her cook. I always do the chicken and dressing every year for the family. So
Fun. I love cooking.
I love to cook, and I cook some good chicken and dressing, too.
And, you know, I don't even know why I'm back here going, that sounds good, because I don't want to see food again. I have eaten so much
food. CJ, that's exactly what happened when Danielle and I went in September, like the third day, because we was there for a week, okay? The third day, I looked at her. I said, "No more. I'm done. I do not want no more shrimp. I don't want no fish. I don't want nothing." So we go to Lambert's for like 2 or 3 days in a row.
Yeah, and then when we were down there for like 3 or 4 days, it's shrimp basket every day for Daryl.
I love the shrimp basket.
Nothing wrong with that.
Love the shrimp basket.
Ever since Jason Spiegel turned me on to the one in Gardendale, I'm down there at least twice a month.
Look, so one night we were some of my friends that owns the Happy Shack right there in Gulf Shores, Bill Flanagan and his wife Katie. So we go to the original Oyster House and had a blackened red snapper, and dear God, it was out of this world. Oh my God, it was amazing. So shout out to Bill Flanagan with the Happy Shack. Go see him and get you a shirt that is tie-dyed. It's pretty cool.
And okay, so discounting Daryl's personal friend and discounting Lambert's and discounting the shrimp basket, where is the best place to eat at Gulf Shores?
I don't know.
There's so many.
Yeah, there is. There's so many. I used to go to Mikey's all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Mikey's. But you know what? I ate there last year, and it was not as good as it was in the years past, so. Well, we ate at Bubba's one night, and it was actually incredible. Because I have ate there before, and it was okay, but it was actually incredible that night.
So, Melissa's not really a real big seafood fan, so she always likes the country cooking, and she likes the fried chicken. So, we had a chicken competition one year. We did Hazel's, because, you know, a lot of people go and do Hazel's for breakfast, yeah. But you've got to do their lunch, too. You don't know what you're missing if you don't do the lunch.
I think I've done their dinner one time, and that was it.
Yep, and Mikey's, you know, has the fried chicken, although they're also a seafood place.
I didn't know that.
Where else did we find it? We found fried chicken at, like, 3 or 4 different places and compared notes.
Because usually I like to go to Tacky Jack's for breakfast.
That's good.
And Danielle and I went and hung out at the water, you know, watched the dolphins as we ate our breakfast, and it was really cool.
Well, there's something about being on a cruise ship where all you have to do is wake up and go up to the top deck for breakfast.
I can imagine. You know? Yeah.
And then if you're still hungry for some reason, go up and eat breakfast again and again. Did you know if you go on a cruise ship and you get to the dinner, you can order as many of the entrees as you want and they'll bring them to you?
Really?
They don't care. They just keep bringing it to you.
Can you imagine how much food they cook in a day?
Imagine how much they waste in a day.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this is Understanding Chef Big D show. Screw the law. We're talking about food now.
Nothing we did was illegal on the entire trip that I know of. And if it was, I'm not telling you about it.
So, Daryl, don't I be feeding the hungry with Carmen and Coleman?
Yeah, next Wednesday, I think it's going to be on Goldridge Road. Danielle and I, we're going to participate with a dinner that we're having, sponsored by Karma and Coleman, and we're going to be feeding, I guess, a lot of the needy people here in Coleman. So we're going to do a couple pans of chicken and dressing carry up there. And
the community center, is that where it is?
I guess it is.
They do it every year. Yeah, they really go all out for that.
So it'll be Wednesday. I really don't know what time it is. I would imagine it's going to be during the day. So we're just honored to be a part of it and to help our community and get some folks with a full belly.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's for sure. I just feel that it's my civic duty, along with Danielle, to do more for the community, and we want to reach out to a lot of people and do different things with some different organizations, because I am so blessed. That's for sure.
Well, it's my duty to not have people's feelings hurt, so I'm going to eat like a pig on Thanksgiving Day, because if they fix stuff,
exactly.
If you don't eat it, they get their feelings
What's
hurt.
What's wrong, Melvin?
So
you don't like it?
As well try it.
Not
yes,
taste good, Melvin?
They say you don't like my stuff. Let me try it.
All right, so look, I'm game with everything, but one thing. Green bean casserole, that has got to be the most awful thing I've ever put in my mouth, and I've done it one time, and I said, I swear to God, I will never do it again.
So they put the fried onions on it and all that, and you didn't
yeah,
like
and,
it.
Yeah, and that, what is it anyway, like cream of mushroom or something?
Yes.
Oh, my
yes.
God, that texture in my mouth almost puked automatically, I swear.
And the green beans are really not green.
No, they're not. I mean, it's
French-style green beans.
How does anybody eat that? I mean, really? No, that's insane. Look, like my mom, when I was a kid, had me to take a bite of a beet one time. Look, I love my mama because I could have beat my mom for making me eat a beet. That was the most god-awful thing I've ever put in my mouth, and I have never put it in my mouth again, nor will I ever.
Well, you know, I have a similar story. So I was raised on certain foods that I liked and other foods that I turned my nose up at, so there's no way I'm ever eating that. And one of them is this 5-hour beef stew recipe that was turned down. Every time it would get cold, that first weekend of November, my mom would make this 5-hour stew. So about a year ago, Melissa and I got the recipe. We decided we'd try it. And all the stuff they put in there, I'm like, I cannot believe I've eaten this all my life. I won't touch that. That's nasty. That's gross.
If your mama cooks it, you better eat it, Jay. Let me tell you something.
But you know what? I still eat that stew even today. So.
Hey, I've heard you say you eat that stew too. Enjoy it.
You know, mine is macaroni and cheese.
You don't like macaroni and cheese?
Oh, absolutely not.
What is wrong with you?
I can't stand touching it, looking
God.
At it. If it, if it is
day,
put
Melvin.
On my plate, I will die.
I'm the same way. I eat a spoonful. I'm just not.
I can't
oh
eat
my
it.
God, I, can eat
I can't
it
even look at
day.
It. I will not fix it.
Really?
I won't be anywhere around it.
Melissa has a thing with ice. She can't be.
Especially
anywhere.
the white, real creamy, cheesy kind of.
I like the yellow cheese.
Oh, that's just horrible.
Really. Look, now, like, I know some people that, like, they won't eat if their food is touching each other on a plate. Is that not the weirdest thing? It's all going in your stomach.
Yes.
I've never figured that out.
I remember that even now about this kid in elementary school, because I was raised on bread. I mean, if you look at me, you know I don't have a problem eating, you know. Send me the bread, you know. And this kid in elementary school, like, it was the day, you know, you bring your parents to lunch day or whatever. And he was going through each food on his plate, one food at a time.
Huh.
And I was eyeing his bread. I'm like, is he going to eat that? Hey, Mom, get. No, he's going to eat it. He'll get to it. It took him 20 minutes, and I'm like, dude, you know, bread, like, you know. Finally, he ate it, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, when I was in Head Start, I remember it. There was macaroni and cheese, and my teacher told me, hey, you have to clean your plate up.
Oh, here we go.
And I tried it, and I couldn't do it. I mean, I was gagging. I was just dying. I took a
you
bite
poor
of
kid.
It. Yes. So what I did is, as soon as she turned her back, that macaroni and cheese went in my milk carton, and I folded it up.
And licked your lips, and man, that was good.
That was it. I was like, well, it was good. And then I'm not lying. I have not never put any in my mouth since that day.
Is that right?
Yes. I couldn't even. If I put it on my fork, I'd die. I'd just die.
See, I'm kind of weird, you know, when it has eating a banana. Now, I will eat one, okay? But that texture in my mouth, that just drives me insane.
All of our friends are like, eat a banana.
Yeah, screw that. I don't want no banana in my mouth.
Drink pickle juice.
Oh, yeah, I do that all the time. I love pickle juice.
So I get gout attacks every now and then, and everyone will tell you you can drink the cherry juice and it will take care of the gout. So I get in my little car, and I go down to Cracker Barrel and order up a vanilla milkshake. You know what? They top that off with a cherry. I'm good.
I love vanilla shakes, by the way. Well, if we want to go ahead and get into Alabama politics, we can talk about Roy Moore and everybody else.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law.
Yes. And I hate to hear don't you hate it when you draw a blank? Stacey George has dropped from the governor's race, and I hated to hear that. He had such fire going for him, and I don't know his reasons, and it's none of my business what his reasons are, but... You know, bottom line, Melvin, is that you have to have a lot of money.
A lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of go. You know what I mean? And especially when you don't have the money to put out like he would. He would really have to hit every county
exactly.
numerous times. Because he's got a good story. And, I mean, he's a good guy. it's but you got to get that story out, and it's, and he knows he can't compete with the. I mean, in the end, he knows it'd be hard to compete with them with the money stuff.
Right.
But he is definitely the. I mean, you gotta commend him. Last the last election cycle, nobody else would run against Bentley. He did.
Right.
You know. So.
So look, I think we should do a little campaign and maybe let Stacey George run for mayor of Arab or something. You know, get him in political office. Well, there you go.
And I think that that's very admirable because he was obedient to the Lord.
Yep. I've always said one of these days I want to run for political office, but I guess I need to move from my present location and get me a place in the city limits of Coleman so I can run for something. I actually may run for mayor of Coleman. I probably wouldn't win, but you never know.
Oh, Lord.
Guy Hunt won governor with that crazy Baxley and Graddick campaign, so... Big D may be the next mayor of Coleman. What do you know?
Everybody laughed. Everybody laughed Donald Trump out of the election. Yes. When he announced, it was a laughing matter.
Yeah, he'll never get that. That's funny.
It was laughing. He was just playing. Boy, he showed him.
Yes, he did. So look, I mean, we don't have to spend the whole show on Rory Moore, but we'll at least talk about it.
I'm just glad that Beverly Young Nelson, I mean... She's been holding something in for 40 years, and she finally...
Hey, guess what?
She finally decided a month before the election time to let it out.
Yeah.
She had to spill the beans.
Got to tell everybody what's going on.
40 years.
I had that exact same thought, you know. It's like the odds of winning the lottery.
Exactly.
Almost.
We've never, ever heard of this guy. He's ran for governor. He has been elected, what, two or three times to the Chief Justice of Alabama Supreme Court, and now that he's fishing shake up Washington, they're coming out of the woodworks.
Yeah. So I mean,
tell their story.
I would think anybody with a half a brain can figure this out, but of course, all the Democrats is going to slam him, and everybody else that does not want him in office, and. You know, I believe personally, I could be wrong, but I believe personally with him saying and that he is a devout Christian man, that everybody's going to slam him for being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? In America, it's not cool to be a Christian.
Not cool.
It's not cool at all. If you believe in Jesus Christ, that's not cool at all.
Well, how much of a difference do you think that's going to make with that being known with this campaign?
You know what? I think it's not going to affect him any at all. I really believe that. I believe he's going to win. And it makes me sick to my stomach to see the American public go about this the way that they're going about it. And a lot of it is because he is a religious man. And that's just the bottom line. I don't care what you say, what your opinion is. Bottom line, that's most of it.
Yes.
And because people do not want to hear about Jesus Christ and about his religious beliefs and his personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear it. So how awful is America to see that we've come this far to go down the tubes this much about God and Jesus? Now, granted, Melvin, if you believe in Kuda Huda, that's cool.
That's all right. And you have to accept it.
Yeah, you exactly. Yes. I have to accept it. But we're not going to accept Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, we just celebrated Veterans Day. Did either one of you see the report on Good Morning America or the Today Show? It was one or the other where a Marine was killed. And his wife was talking about him as a person.
Mm-hmm.
They were asking her questions, and one of her responses was that he lived his life for Jesus Christ. When they aired it, they edited it.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I thought, really? So where is there our constitutional right as a Christian?
Yeah, exactly. You don't have no constitutional right as a Christian. Are you crazy? And it's just really sad. I mean, it really is, so... But you know what? Everybody has their day, Melvin.
Yes.
And for people to be on that side and to want to take God out of everything, and we've talked about this before, taking God out of schools, taking prayer out of football games and this. And one day, every person will be accountable for that.
Yes.
And I would hate to know that I was one of those people. So, yeah, that just ticks me off.
In the Bible, what it talks about denying Christ and you're going to be denied in the final judgment.
Can you imagine him looking at you going,
"You denied
I never knew you.
Yeah, I know it.
I never knew you."
Yep.
Wow.
That that's a big statement too.
It is.
He says that he knew us in the womb.
Oh, so yeah.
For us to die and stand before judgment before him and not be known.
Exactly.
He stamped us in the womb.
Hey, folks, let me tell you something. Check this out. Hell is a real place.
Yes.
And it's forever. It's eternal. And that's the way it is. And I can't imagine going to a place like that forever and it never stops. So there you go. So we go from Roy Moore to his religious beliefs, and we know this is part of the reason that he's being attacked. I've seen people on Facebook that even today that is bashing Roy Moore and what he's done. And they don't even know the truth.
They don't even have a clue.
Exactly. They're just trying to ride a bandwagon.
This story is from a 1977 incident. I mean, can you? That is 40 years
exactly.
ago. 40 years ago, she held the secret in. What a crock of baloney. You know, when you read this stuff in the Republican National Committee, and then Mitch McConnell, all these people were drawing their support for Roy Moore. Did these idiots not realize he's going to get elected, and then they're going to have to go back and kiss up to him because maybe they forget that the Senate is very close. I mean, it's I don't know exactly what it is, 51-49, 52-48, whatever else. But we just barely have a majority in it, and they need him.
Yeah,
exactly. It's just
Mitch
like
McConnell
when
needs him, and. He is dying because his guy, Luther Strange, could not win the election.
Exactly.
Get over it. He's just as bad as the Clintons.
It's just like when he was first elected, you know, the mainstream media was not in Alabama, so their perception of what was happening here was so far off the wall, it's not even funny. You know, when the establishment threw so much money in here supporting his opponent, and we kind of revolted, I think that's part of why he got, you know, elected in that runoff.
Yes.
The same thing's going to happen, I think, when, you know, they go back and, I don't know how political I want to get. So the whole Doug Jones thing, I don't know the guy, but I know what I've read on Facebook. So it must be factual, right? And, the opinions out there about him are that he's not really who we're looking for either. And although, you know, he seems to want to share and drink the Kool-Aid and sing Kumbaya together with the great masses of the Republicans and the Democrats, that's not his record. So.
There you go.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about Doug Jones.
Shall
myself,
we all hold hands and sing Kumbaya together?
Yeah. Yes. Hey, there's one of the stories I was trying to find, and I thought it was great. They was questioning on this AO.com story, should Sean Hannity be fired? For Fox News. I assume it's because he supports Roy Moore. It is. Should Fox News fire Sean Hannity? I don't know. You can't because they can't. Man, the Congress is bought and paid for absolutely 100%. The legislature is for sure, but the Congress is 100%. And he is not one of those guys. He is not one of their guys. And, they just sell their soul to the devil, whoever it may be. And, they're determined he ain't going to be up there. So I guess here's the question to all the Alabama voters. Are we going to let the nation, we're going to let people outside of Alabama determine who our senator is? That's the question when y'all go vote. Do you let the national media and the rest of the nation decide who your senator is going to be?
I'll tell you what. So we've got about 5 minutes till break. Let's embrace the great conspiracy theory for a moment and say that all of this is, you know, little behind the scenes stuff going on with these women coming forward, and you know, none of this really happened. They just happened to go and follow the leads to find whoever would, you know, say something. Who's behind it? Who benefits from it? Who's pulling the purse strings to say, follow the money?
Yeah, I'm sure there's several, you know, that's all behind this, and because they don't want him in office.
Yes,
they can't stand Roy Moore. They can't stand what he supports. They can't stand the way that he speaks. And that's just the bottom line.
Do they really think they're going to get a Democrat elected in Alabama? Just wondering.
Well,
okay, you know. Let me rephrase that. A Democrat elected in Alabama in 2017?
It will be a while. It will be a long time before one gets elected.
It's So how is it that you rightly divide the truth when you go to the polls?
I think anybody with common sense, they know what they're going to do.
Yes.
I mean, Rory Moore is going to win, and everybody's going to be pissed about it, and that's just the bottom line. So everybody's just going to take it from there, and then you may start seeing some truths come out going, the lady says, hey, look, he really didn't do this, and I was conspired or I was pressured to say this, and I think that will happen. And then all these idiots out here that's jumping on the bandwagon will shut their mouth. But you know what? Idiots do that every day. They'll jump on a bandwagon whether they know the truth or not, and we'll ride it. Because we all want to be the same with everybody else. We don't want to have our own opinion. So whatever your opinion is, and it's cool, well, I'll go with your opinion, and I'm going to vote the way that you vote.
Our memory in this country is phenomenal. I mean, we don't remember what happened a week ago. And if you look back to, I hate to say it, but you look back to Bill Clinton.
That's what I was going to say.
Same thing happened there, and look at the result.
Yeah. I mean, come on. He was up in the Oval Office with a cigar, okay?
Oh, even before that, Daryl.
Yeah. And after that, okay, even now. But you know what? That's okay. Whatever Bill Clinton does, that's okay, along with Joe Biden and everybody else. So all these people that are in these sex scandals that are Democrats, by the way, it's okay. It really is. Let's not say anything to nobody.
All right, here's a hypothetical. If Rory Moore were a Democrat, would this be even making the news?
Absolutely not.
Was he not on the Democrat?
I don't know.
Well, I think everybody in the state was about 30 years ago.
Yeah, right. He may have been. Yeah.
He may have been years ago. But
the I believe, from what I read, he was elected Edouard Judge in 1992. So there is probably a possibility at that point that he may have run on a Democrat ballot. Because in 1992, 1994, 96, 98, 2000... In Coleman County, if you ran as Republican, you got beat, period, 100%, hands down.
You know, so, growing up, my dad was a Republican, and I listened to the views on both sides when I grew up. And I think the older that I got is that I kind of figured out that there's a lot of things about Republicans that I don't like, a lot about Democrats that I don't like. And I just wanted to say that I don't think I'm either one. I want to vote what is right for this country and for my fellow citizens. That's what I want. And I'm not going to label myself.
A lot of times, in situations, neither party has the right answer. You know, because they're going, if one party takes a stance on one thing, the other one's going to automatically take a stance against
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Obviously, they haven't agreed on anything in like 20 years.
Oh, so. It's been a long time.
Well, and it works that way in our House, too. House of Representatives, because, you know, majority rules Republican or majority rules Democrat. And, you know, I'm glad that a lot of times our president will be a Republican and our House will be Democrat, so it weighs itself out, and vice versa. In my lifetime, that's what I've watched, anyway.
I just hope Alabama votes December the 5th and gives the middle finger to everybody else.
Exactly. I do too. I hope he wins by a landslide so I can laugh at everybody. Yes. And all these idiots on Facebook that has the most asinine remarks
even
about
if that
Roy
happens,
Moore.
I have a prediction. My prediction is that CNN will continue to focus on Russia, even if that happens.
Oh, yeah, you know that.
Yeah, hack the election.
Who in the world actually watches CNN? I mean, I want to know.
During breaking news. That's about it.
But you and I listened to his speech at the GOP. And he very much represented himself in a respectable manner.
He did.
Roy Moore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did a good speech. And let me tell you something, but like I said before, there were some people there that didn't agree with everything that he said, that's for sure. And I'm thinking, who are these people, man? Are you off to the far left or something?
Yeah.
You're here. You're
right in the middle.
You are here acting like you're ready to support Roy Moore, and he's saying some things up there that even you don't like. Come on. So evidently, you're kind of wishy-washy on what you actually believe and what you want.
I agree.
So next on Understand the Law, we'll be talking Iron Bowl.
Alright, so
I can't wait to draw the line from where Iron Bowl meets the law. That'll be interesting.
I hate to say this, I'm an avid Alabama fan like nobody else.
Were you taking some blood pressure pills Saturday night?
Oh, I was. But let me tell you something. I'm scared of Auburn, and that's just the bottom line.
As you should be.
We'll be back in just a moment with Understanding the Law.
Hey, I've got 12 seconds till this music ends, so I'm just going to say this. Watching the Auburn game, I thought I was watching the Alabama game, and watching the Alabama game, I thought I was watching the Auburn game. Anybody else have that thought?
Yeah.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com. Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Are you having trouble seeing your computer screen? Are the traffic signs looking a little fuzzy? Are the things that you used to be able to see looking just a little out of focus? Dr. Wayne Fuller has been helping Coleman see better for years, and he's still located on 2nd Avenue between the Catholic Church and Highway 278. You can call his friendly staff at 256-734-1121, and they'll be happy to get you seeing better, whether it's with contacts, glasses designed just for you, or a low-cost alternative to LASIK. Again, Dr. Wayne Fuller is available at 256-734-1121.
We've spent a lot of time on this. The investigation is finally over. We uncovered several leads, and we have finally found it. We have found what every small business in Coleman has been looking for. Fiber optic quality internet is here. Utilizing cutting-edge radio technology, Cyber Broadband is now able to offer fiber optic quality internet in the immediate downtown Coleman area and most Coleman industrial parks. More information is available by calling Cyber Broadband, 256-734-1077, 256-734-1077, or on the web at cyberbroadband.net. You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
You're listening to Live 95. Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law. We are not talking about the law tonight. We're talking about everything else but the law.
But we can throw a little law in there.
We can throw some law in there.
Let's talk about Roy Moore. Why? Because I was just thinking, why is the national people so concerned about him? And we talk about the numbers, and the numbers very well may. We got another election this coming up year. I don't know how many senators are on that election. Talking about United States senators, but you know, you lose one or two Republicans somewhere, or one or two retire, and a Democrat picks it up. Then when you're running 49-50-51, that's 50-50 or 49-51, that's a big deal, especially, and here's the problem, here's what everybody knows, especially when you are confirming Supreme Court justice to the United States, and there are some old people on that court that are gone, and Trump is going to nominate probably two or three of them in his 8 years, he's going to be there 8 years, but even in 4 years, he's going to have two or three nominees up there. So they want to control who's going to be up there.
You heard it here first. Melvin said Trump's going to get reelected.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about it.
Breaking news first.
The United States would have to like be in a deep depression, but I think they'd still elect Trump again.
Because we're experiencing the opposite of that from everything I'm hearing.
Yes, exactly. So the Supreme Court, everybody is so scared about abortion and the gay marriage stuff. And what are the things that Roy Moore really stands up against? It's definitely the gay marriage, but he's a vocal opponent of abortion and stuff. So he's going to be in there helping to choose the next, confirming the next Supreme Court justice or two on the United States Supreme Court. And they are worried to death about that.
They do not want any opposition.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine the vetting that he's going to do on a poor old person that's going to run for Supreme Court justice? He's going to know for a fact how that person is going to rule on the next gay marriage or abortion case that comes in front of
exactly.
him.
Exactly. So he has that stronghold and his beliefs and that's why I continue to say that's why they're bashing him for it. They don't want no part of him in politics whatsoever.
I love it. I love it.
Don't forget, I mean, we got to get like 21 minutes, 737-9505 if you want to call in and have a question, or if you just want to make a statement, you can do that. We will listen to anybody's opinion, even though Melvin and I think ours is always correct.
Yes.
And just as a disclaimer, anything that we say is not the same agreement as the management and ownership of this Live 95.5 radio station. So we just covered ourselves there because Jay does not.
And we're a nonprofit, so we have no money and nothing to take. So, hey, it's all good.
If you sue us, you're not. Well, look, we've got a York peppermint patty on the table that you might can get in a lawsuit, but we do have an attorney here to represent us. So there you go.
Hey, I was trying to think, because usually we talk about, hey, what's happening in court? This week is civil jury week. I don't know that they had a case to try. So they have, so Monday what happens is they probably had 70 people show up. They got summons they probably sent out 150 summons, 70, 80, maybe 100 people show up, 70 or 80 probably, show up to do civil, to hear car wreck cases, because essentially that's what was all on there. Car wreck cases, maybe a couple of medical malpractice cases or something like that. So it's jury cases, and it's not criminal. It's just for damages and stuff. So these jurors get to sit up there and then get to find out probably Monday by 11:30 all the cases are resolved or been continued, and then they get to go home. They get a little paycheck, like $10. I mean, it ain't much. But their employers, A lot of them gets worried about their jobs. Employers got to pay them.
Exactly.
I mean, if you get a little notice, you get a little thing showing that you've been on jury summons, you've been summoned to a jury, the employers can't fire you.
Exactly.
You get paid for it, and then you get a little per diem check from the state. And they do a service, because I had two or three cases on this docket, and there's no doubt that one of the cases that I had, which was a long shot for me, but it settled because the insurance company didn't want to take the chance. They didn't want to spend the money, and I kind of found a few little facts to help me out a little bit and bolster my case some. So that we didn't get a lot of money, but we settled a case, and it was good. So and then I know when I was there at the docket, they probably had 10 or 15 cases that each judge was calling out, and they're saying settled. So
I guess that was my first question. And if you have 10 cases of this, me personally, I would think that 9 out of 10 would be settled before you even go to court.
Yeah, a lot of them. Most of them are settled. There's a deal, and it is a big deal, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger thanks to our Supreme Court. Not Roy Moore, because I've had rulings from him that I respect, and that's why I respect him, because he respects the law. Sometimes our appellate courts, they rule, and you're like, ugh, you know, where does that take us down this road and stuff? But now you really have to try your case in front of a judge before you try your case in front of a jury. And what that means is there's something that's called a motion for summary judgment. So the defendant, like if you got a car wreck case, the insurance company will file something with the court saying, hey, here are the facts, here are the issues. There's nothing in the law that's going to entitle this person to get a verdict. You know, judge, you're going to throw this case out in the middle of the trial. So it used to be, once they filed it, all you had to do is say, I used to file, I mean, this, I'm talking about 15 years ago when I was practicing law. When I first started, I'd file something, I could just find an issue, said, look, that is an issue, that is a material fact issue in our trial, and since it's an issue, a jury gets decided. Okay? Now that you have to prove your, once they file this motion in and saying, judge, throw this case out, you have to take depositions, you have to do all kinds of stuff, present medical testimony or just everything, and convince the judge, I do have a case. Look, here's my case. It don't seem fair, but it's crazy. So you spend all this money on a car wreck case. Insurance companies know that. So there's a lot of attorneys that's not in a position to do it. I mean, a car wreck case, somebody's got $25,000 or $50,000. You know, $25,000 is the minimum you got to have on liability insurance. And there's a lot of people, $25,000 insurance. And somebody could seriously get injured in a car wreck. And there's $25,000 out there for you to get. Well, if the insurance company wants to play hardball with you, and then you have to file a lawsuit against this person, you spend $400 or $500 file a lawsuit, okay? Every time you file a subpoena, it's $15. And that don't seem much, but hey, you file six subpoenas, and then they put the trial off, you have to file them six subpoenas again, then they put the trial off. Insane. Then you got $200 or $300 or $400 in subpoena fees out there. You take a doctor's deposition, you're going to pay him $1,500 or $2,000 to take his deposition. Plus, that's what you pay the doctor for his time. Plus, you're going to spend about $300 or $400 on getting the court reporter there. And then if there's a few little issues and you have to get you an accident reconstructionist or whatever else, you can run up $8,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 on a case.
Wow.
To try for $25,000. Okay. So you go to court and you win, or you get that $25,000. You done, unfortunately for your clients, you done spent $5,000 or $6,000 of their money. You've got a lot of time in this case, so you want your 33% of it or 40% of it, so you're gonna get $8,000 of it. That means half the money's done spent that they're entitled to. And then you gotta pay their insurance company back. If Medicare or Medicaid paid, you have to pay them back the money. You know, if there's a hospital lien out there, then you have to pay the hospital lien. So these people can literally get just hauling nothing at the end, and it's not fair.
That's not fair at all.
It's not fair.
Crazy.
So, and like I said, it was not like that before, but now they're just making it tough. And our appellate courts really don't help us out.
Wow.
Yep. So that's it. And that's why when I go back to in these cases I settled and in a lot of other car wreck cases that I've currently got now, thankfully these people's got underinsured motors.
And by the way, I do have it because yes. I got insurance on the Miata.
Yes.
Liability because of course, you know, there's no value there. Yes. It's a 93. But the first thing that I asked,
value?
No, it's not. It's a 93 yeah. model. I'm like, there's not a lot. So I got liability. But I asked her, do I have uninsured motorist? And she said, yes, you do yep. on all of them. I said,
you
well, I
get
need to make
it,
sure.
You get it unless you waive it. And you have to waive it by signature. You have to sign a document saying I waive it out. And but thankfully, you know, if you got one card, but listen, you got the minimum unless you ask for, you know, for more. That means you got 25,000. But you know, sometimes that extra $25,000 helps you out. Right. You know, if you got, hey, you go in the emergency room, and they do a lot of CT scans and stuff like that. You stay for a couple hours, you got a $6,000-$8,000
bill. Oh,
yeah. Easy. You know, and then, and then, you know, you do follow-ups and stuff like that. Next thing you know, you got $10,000 worth of bills out there. So
you stay 8 yeah. months, and you have $2 million bill.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't think I've seen a 2 million. The most I've seen is 110. I had a boy had 110 at Huntsville.
Wow.
Then I had another one had 90,000. I think Birmingham UAB or somewhere. But
lots of money.
They can do it, you know. And you got $50,000 worth of coverage out there, and it's tough to do it. And I think that the legislature is probably going to act again. I don't know if the insurance companies will fight them on it or not, but I don't know how it all works out in the end as far as how, I mean, I know insurance companies are making tons of money.
Yep.
But, you know, are they going to make it where you have to have the minimum of $50,000? Because $25,000 minimum coverage is nothing. Right.
You know what? I better check mine this week, by the way.
Yeah, well, didn't it used to be 10? I think it used to be 10. Recently, it became $25,000.
I don't know if it's 25 or 50,000, though.
It will say you have 25,000 and then 50,000 maximum for, so 25,000 for one person, 50,000 maximum. Yeah, it could be 2 or 10. It don't matter. 50,000 is each occurrence is how it says it. So that's the total amount no matter how many people. And here's something else. You know, I have one client that's injured. It's got all these injuries and whatever else. And I say, well, it's got $50,000. Why can't I get $50,000? Well, the insurance only pays that $25,000. But you always have the option, but it's risky. You always have the option of going to trial. Now, if that insurance, because I'm going to correct something I said kind of mingo. If you go to trial and that insurance company doesn't pay the money in, doesn't offer it, they just want their trial. And you go in there and hit a good $125,000 or $150,000 or $200,000 verdict, that insurance company's got to pay it. They can't come back to that point and say, well, here's our $25,000. They got to pay the verdict.
Good.
So, yeah, it's good for them. And you need it. You got to hit. When we, every once in a while, we get jurors that really hammer them. And you have to do it to make them honest.
Yep. Exactly right. Yep. So, and now, granted, maybe next week's show, I've got some things that I want to talk about. I'm not going to talk about them now, but
Iron Bow.
No, it's actually legal stuff that Danielle and I was arguing about the other night. So,
and you know, a lot of things about law, it's kind of funny because it is the argument. And I tell people this all the time. You know, you may not have the law in your favor, but you got to have an argument. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
you got to be able to get it. You got to have a controversy and you got to have an argument. Just so we'll go back to that summary judgment stuff, which is only available in civil cases, when lawsuits and stuff. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to say there is an issue, you know, and our Constitution says if there's a controversy, then you're entitled to a jury trial on it. You're entitled to a trial. Right. So that's just the way they try to cut us out. You know, they went for, and they're not pushing so much now. 10 years ago, 12 years ago, the biggest push was arbitration. It was like, man, you're not going to get jury trials now. We're going to knock them jury trials out. Yeah. Now you got to go into arbitration. But it's not that big of a – I don't see a lot of arbitration cases now. I'll tell you why I think. Everybody was scared of arbitrators and what would happen. But when these insurance companies and big business councils thought, all right, we got this, this is great, arbitration is a great thing. For whatever reason, I don't guess they thought, you know who an arbitrator is? He's a lawyer. And a lot of these lawyers are not, you know, they may represent insurance companies or whatever else, but they've been trained and they're not bought out like government officials and legislatures and whatever else. So they'd go in front of an arbitrator, thought they had it whooped, and then they'd get a $500,000 million verdict against them from an arbitrator that you can't appeal.
Right, exactly. So that's it.
It's like you asked for it, you got it.
You
got
to explain what an arbitrator is, because a lot of people do not know what an arbitrator is.
Yeah, sometimes people, and I do have this question, that they want to know the difference between an arbitrator and a mediator. Mm-hmm. A mediator is a person that... Sometimes mediators are not lawyers. They're not required every time to be a mediator. Now, there's some that do. Like, for instance, let's go. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on this civil stuff.
Go ahead.
So you try a civil case. You get a $150,000 verdict against this insurance company. All right, this insurance company says, I ain't paying that thing. We're going to appeal this thing, take this thing to the Alabama Court of Civil Appeals. And we've got an opportunity to have them overturn it because there's some legal issue that we can argue. Well, what they're really doing is forcing you, because they say, all right, you won. When you go to the Alabama Court of Civil Appeals, they're going to ask for a mediator, and the Civil Appeals Court's going to grant it and say, all right, y'all go settle this thing outside. So both sides is going to have to spend money on a mediator. And that mediator is going to come in there and tell your poor client, you did good, congratulations, you got a $125,000 verdict in Coleman County jury, that's great. They don't do it often, that's great. But now you got to deal with the Alabama Civil Court of Appeals and Alabama Supreme Court. You got to look at all the issues of law and determine. You know, there is a character here, a guy, I want to say $680,000. He got a big verdict against Webb Will. I don't say it's 680. A Coleman County jury did this a long time ago. And it was because he said they fired him because he had a workers' comp claim. A Coleman County jury heard it, and they said, you're right, and they awarded a big verdict on him. By the time it went through the Court of Civil Appeals, and by the time it got to the Supreme Court of Civil Appeals reduced it down a lot. The Supreme Court reduced it down to like $90,000. The insurance company went back after they got that last verdict from the Supreme Court, reducing it down to $90,000, says, you know what? You need to consider this. The Supreme Court of Alabama come out and says, you're right. That guy gets zero. Oh, wow. He didn't get a dime. Zero. So, can you imagine going from 680 to zero? And the Supreme Court said, hey, there were some issues here. And they have ruled you didn't, I believe if this is the case, is that you didn't prove that the sole reason, the only reason, because that's what the law says, that you got fired was because of a workers' comp claim. There was another issue out there. And because you didn't prove that was a sole issue, you get nothing.
Wow.
So when you're going to mediation on this big old verdict, $125,000 verdict you just got, the media is going to remind you that. They're going to tell you, you know, the Alabama Supreme Court and Civil Court of Appeals has taken a lot of verdicts away because there's a technical issue in the proceeding. So the insurance company wins because most time you say, all right, look, if they'll pay me $50,000, if they'll pay me $60,000 or $75,000, I'll take it. And the insurance company wins because they get to pay you $50,000 instead of $125,000 and you walk out.
Wow.
So that's a mediator. The mediator don't make the decision. He's just trying to work between y'all and get and try to make both sides come to some agreement. An arbitrator is the jury. An arbitrator is a one-man judge, lawyer, jury that cost a lot of daggone money. I mean, a lot. Arbitration cost you, I think it cost you $1,000, $1,200, $1,500 just to filing fees. And then this guy's making $325 an hour. So it's a lot of money in arbitration, but you try your case in front of him, and his verdict is your verdict, and you're stuck with it.
I think years ago, I don't know, it's probably not like this now, but I can remember 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it seemed like whenever you would go anywhere to borrow money, whether it's a local finance place, that was the number one thing when you started signing
an arbitration agreement.
Exactly. Absolutely. But I don't know if they even still do that. But I know they did 10 or 15 years ago.
Did you know what you're signing?
You're giving up
You're giving up your right to a jury trial.
There you go.
You know, and what we always argued, and this is something you learn in law school, and it's true, but the argument's been made and it never was successful. It's called an adhesion contract. It's a take it or leave it contract. So your argument was when you go to court is, okay, it's take it or leave it. I either sign this arbitration giving up my rights or I don't buy the car. I don't get the money for the car. Right. Okay. And you say, so I go to car lot B and car lot C and car lot D and E, F, G, H, I, J. Every single one of them's got it. So I don't have no option but to sign the agreement.
Right.
And it's called an adhesion. It binds you. It sticks with you. There's nothing you can, it's take it or leave it. And, you know, Supreme Court never bought it. They just said, well, it's just tough. It's just the way things are. But thank God, because I think you're right. I mean, there may still be some out there, but I don't see them as much as we did. And I think what happened is maybe there's actually some smart lawyers out there that worked to getting some good arbitrators in there that really stuck it to these companies that use them arbitration stuff. And then they decided, well, maybe this ain't a good idea anyway.
Right.
We'll go back with the 12 people verdict, see what we can do then.
Arbitration with the finance company, when you're signing that paper, you know, if you remember about 5, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, mortgage companies were hand over fist foreclosing on homes back to back, yeah, because they were coming from the bank or from another institute that was sold out to another institute, and the arbitration law held them to where they could not sue them for taking their home in 30 days, whatever that clause was, you know. It's like a loophole. And that's crazy, but they're not as bad now as they used to be like 10 years ago, like what Daryl's saying.
Well, you know, and another thing, when you're signing these contracts, another important thing is to look at is the venue. And sometimes they'll hide that, and I've argued that. I think it's a case I took to Roy Moore. I think I took the Supreme Court and Moore's down there, and him, and like, and I know Judge Parker rules with him, but I think one or two of the other ones agreed too, but then there was like 4-3 decision that, you know, and it just didn't take it. It didn't get to win. But it was an argument. It was a contract case. All the work, it was a guy in Coleman. All the work's done in St. Clair County or Shelby County, whichever one. I mean, we're talking about $200,000 or $300,000 worth of work. So it's big money stuff. But then if we have a dispute, which we had a dispute because they owed us $200,000, we have to go to Mobile Court to try the stupid thing. So, and it was hidden. It was hidden in the contract. And the law says if some of the stuff that's very important, like venue or whatever else, it's got to be something prominent. An arbitration's got to be bold printed. So when you're looking at a contract piece of paper you're signing and you see capital letters bold, there's a reason that they're doing it. You need to read it, you know. And sometimes, hey, if you're doing a mortgage company, maybe Bank of America says, hey, if you sue us on this, you have to go to New York to try this case.
Right.
You know, venue's proper in New York. You got to be careful. But see, things like that, you can actually negotiate. Heck, if you sit there and mark a line through it and initial your name on it and sign it and they sign and accept it, then they've accepted that contract is. So
now, coming up next week, I'm going to get with Melvin, and I think we want to touch on some wills because I have questions about wills and different things like that. So I'm sure that you can answer all these.
I'll have to read up on it.
Maybe we can even bring Blake West in pretty soon.
That'd be fine.
Because I know he done a will for my dad last year. But there's just several questions that I have, and I know that other people want to know also. So as we wrap up, we got to do just a few seconds on college football. So are you finally agreeing with me? Finally, Tennessee fires Butch Jones. What took them so long? I mean, come on.
Is it the money, the buyout stuff?
Buyout, $8.2 million right now to cover everybody. It's $13 million on a staff.
I mean, they got Missouri.
Yes, they did.
And I tell you the biggest deal, they seen the writing on the wall and they thought Vandy's going to come in here and beat us 59-0 and we can't have that.
So let's just go ahead and get your opinion right now, Melvin. Iron Bowl.
Oh, Lordy.
Tell me.
Alabama's going to pull it out, but it ain't going to be easy. It is not going to be easy.
I wish I could say that I could predict it, but I can't.
But Auburn, you gave them credit. They are They're on top of their game right now.
Yes, they are.
They're not injured. But here's the deal. It's all going to be quarterback play.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what beats Alabama's quarterback play. So if he has the game of his life, Jarrett Stidham, he has the game of his life, they will beat Alabama. Yeah. It won't be by much, but they'll beat him. But I just don't know that he can do it.
So, Georgia, over
Alabama's going to stop. Alabama's going to stop Auburn's run game. I know y'all think that's crazy, but they know you have to make – the reason Mississippi State beat us is because they got a good running – I mean, they beat us. Reason they beat us for three quarters is they got a good running quarterback.
Yep, exactly. Georgia, overrated?
Yeah.
Overrated?
They were good because look at all the competition they played. It's nothing. I mean, Notre Dame got destroyed. Florida's 3-6. I mean, Kentucky, I mean, Georgia's overrated and got exposed.
Flip side of Georgia, Mark.
And they couldn't handle being number one. It's tough, man. Everybody wants to beat the number one team.
Flip side of Georgia, Mark Richt goes to Miami. He's there for his second year.
They're embarrassed.
What's up with that? Miami's coming back and they're undefeated.
I know.
Would you have ever figured Mark Richt would have done that in his second year at Miami? Miami has just been nothing, and all of a sudden – Mark Richt has built that program like you would not believe, and that's just a fact.
Well, Ohio State was kind of trending down a little bit, and then look what happened. You get a new coach, Urban Meyer. Sometimes it's just the changes.
Urban Meyer done good. I mean, he has done good since he's been there. There's no doubt. And then he gets upset. Notre Dame, what do you think about that? Overrated?
Yes. They got exposed. But if you go back and look at Notre Dame, they play tough teams. People make fun of their schedule, but you got to look at their schedule. They always play Stanford. They always play in USC. They always playing in Oklahoma or Miami or whatever else. They play NC State, so they don't play cupcakes all the time. Right. So they have a tough schedule, but they get exposed.
I'm sure you'll agree, here in a couple of weeks, there's going to be so many coaches fired. It's going to be unbelievable.
Yes.
So if you're an assistant coach looking for a head coach job, it's now your opportunity to make millions.
Yes.
Coming up Thursday night, the Big D Radio Show. Actually, I have no idea who the guests are. I think I know one. Danielle has not told me. But just a reminder, we are going to be helping with Karma and Coleman next Wednesday, a Thanksgiving meal. And I think I said it was the Gold Ridge Community, maybe?
The Gold Ridge Community Center, yep.
So we'll be helping out there. I believe Saving Forgotten Warriors is going to be in West Point at, I'm sorry, what'd you say? Brandon Iron. So they're going to be giving free meals to vets there. And I believe it may be Wednesday also, is it? This coming Wednesday, right before Thanksgiving. So make sure, if you can, help out these vets, feed them, let's give them a great meal. For Melvin Hastings and Danielle, this is Big D on Understanding the Law. We'll see you next time.
Broadcasting from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95. Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Coleman.